Good to see you tonight. Y'all having a good 2013? Guess y'all couldn't find anything better to do tonight, so be here with us. Good to see you. We started the year, seems like, with a warm spell, so let that be, let that continue. May the warmth of the air permeate our beings. Praise God. Well, y'all can be seated. I think Tori did enough praying. I don't think we need to do any more praying right at this moment. Praise God. Tonight we're going to talk about 2013 a little bit because we have started a new year. And as we were going into the new year, we often take a time to sort of reflect on the old and look at the new and sort of prepare and plan what might be ahead and where it might be going and what the Lord might be saying to us, and maybe to make some goals. Any of y'all make any goals for the new year, any resolutions? Any of you at least had a thought about that, thought about it for a moment, like what will this year be about? I can tell you this. If I had known, let me just say it this way. I could not possibly have known a year ago today. From a year ago until now, I could not possibly have imagined what 2013 would be like. So I'm not even going to try to think of what 2012 could have been like. If on 2000, is today the 2nd, January 2nd, 2012, I could not have in any way predicted what 2012 would have been like. So then, you got married this year, didn't you, Vera? Yeah, boy, what a shocker 2012 was to you, huh? Well, now when we're sitting here on January 2nd, 2013 and looking ahead, and we can all say, well, this or that or this other thing and all, but the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray, according to Steinbeck. So, I'm not sure that's scriptural, but the principle is there just the same. Okay. Won't preach from classic literature. I'll stay away from that. But I just want to read a couple of scriptures to us tonight. One is Psalm 37:23. If you have that, Psalm 37:23, it says this. It says, the steps of a good man. How many of you tonight are a good man? Well, you might not feel like you're a good man, but you're good because Jesus has made you good. And you are right with God because of Jesus, so you're a good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Do you know God gives orders? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And this is interesting where the big letter is. He means God delights in the good man's way. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in the good man's way. Isn't that good tonight? So God delights whenever you step and follow his plans and you stay in his ways. God likes that. Now on Sunday, if you were here on Sunday, you heard Pastor Matt share a message. He just talked about a little bit about words and talking, who you should talk to. And he ended up talking about how we should talk to God. And I'm thinking about that even more as I look into 2013. We can all sit here tonight and imagine what we would like to happen in 2013. Or we can all sit here and consider the various options of what others have said might happen or all those things. But the only one who really knows for sure what the year holds for you is the Lord. And he's the one you want to talk to. He's the one you want to listen to. He's the one you want to hear from. And that's one of the things I got strongly out of Sunday's message. But in light of that, John chapter 16, if you want to turn over there, I want to read you a couple of scriptures. In John chapter 16, in verse 13, talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus is talking a lot. This is what we would refer to as the Last Supper. It's his last real time of heart sharing that Jesus spent with his disciples before he went to Calvary. And it says here in John 16, verse 13, however, when he, big H, the Spirit of truth has come, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Isn't that good? He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said to you, he will take of mine and declare it to you. Well, in these verses and in others here in this same passage, Jesus is saying to us that the Holy Spirit will show us. He will lead us. He will guide us into all the truth. He will show us things that are to come. The Amplified says he will transmit what he hears from the Father. He will transmit it to us. So tonight we have a transmitter living in us. The Holy Spirit is like, he is not like, he actually is a transmitter. He is transmitting to us God's plans, His purposes, these steps that I read about here, those steps that are ordered by the Lord. The Holy Spirit is inside of us, and He is transmitting God's plans to us. Now, unless we're listening, we aren't going to hear. Unless we know His voice, we aren't going to be able to discern what He's saying. Because we are His sheep, and He's speaking to us, and as our shepherd, we should know His voice, but we don't always listen. And some of us just have a lot of wax build up in our ears and can't hear Him, spiritually speaking. And we haven't heard from Him, but God has a plan, and we need to hear from Him. I got that out of Sunday morning's message, that we need to hear from God. Did any of y'all get that out of that? That we need to hear from God. We took a little time at the end of the service, and we prayed about God's plans for us and what He has. Do y'all believe God has a plan for you tonight? Am I the only one here that believes God's got a plan? How many of you believe that God has a plan that may not be so predictable according to human knowledge? You know, that God may have some plans that might be a surprise. I remember years ago, the Lord spoke to me and He said these words to me, tricky maneuvers. And He said to me, He said, I've got some tricky maneuvers planned. Some things that will be tricky. In other words, He's planned some things that to the natural mind are going to seem tricky, maybe out of the blue. They may seem like a curveball, but it's because God is a lot smarter than the devil, and the devil doesn't know the end from the beginning, and God is, you know, He's got plans that seemingly come out of nowhere. I mean, who would think that the deliverer of Israel would be born in Pharaoh's house? You know, Moses was born in Pharaoh's house. Who would think that the deliverer of Israel, the one that God would raise up to deliver Israel, would come out of Pharaoh's own house? That was a tricky maneuver, wasn't it? I mean, there are just some things. And who would think that Joseph, who was put in the pit by his brothers and then spent time in prison, that he would end up being the leader of Egypt like he did? I mean, that was a tricky maneuver. Here's a tricky maneuver. Paul, who was the chief persecutor of the early church, he was Saul then. God, who knew that Jesus was going to appear to him on the road to Damascus? That was a tricky maneuver. And if you read the scripture, there is one tricky maneuver after another where God just shows up seemingly out of nowhere and He does these really great, astounding things. It was His plan all along, but human mind, you know, our natural thinking couldn't conceive of it. We didn't see it coming. And I believe that the same God who planned Moses to be born in Pharaoh's house to deliver His people, the same God who had a tricky maneuver of having people march around a walled, fortified city, and somehow or another through their marching and blowing of horns, the walls were going to fall down. That same God, the same God who had Moses build an ark, who, you know, when they'd never even seen rain and they had this big flood. I mean, you just think about it. The Bible as a whole bunch of collection of these tricky maneuvers that God has. And then all of us, if we weren't around here tonight, we could all share of times where God just did things that just whoop came out of nowhere, and it was God, and He did amazing things in our lives, and we never would have thought of it. I mean, Gary, would you have ever thought you were going to be a hospital chaplain and you would love such a thing? I mean, who saw that coming? But God did. God saw it. See, God knows these things that we don't know. And we have to be open to Him, and we have to be listening to Him. And that's why we can't sit here tonight. All this to say, we can't sit here tonight and chart out day by day 2013. And you're a fool if you think you can. That's why we are utterly dependent on God. We're utterly dependent on His Word. We're utterly dependent on the Holy Spirit who is within us to lead us and to guide us. So the best thing we can do is learn to hear from Him. The best thing we can do is discipline ourselves to follow Him. And so that's what we're going to talk about here a little bit tonight. I have some papers I want to pass out. I hope I have enough for everybody. Can I get some help? Oh, I have some help. Some very fine help, I might add. Okay. Thank you very much. Just let everybody, give everybody one of those. I'm going to give Matt one. Okay. If y'all need more, we can, I guess, make some. We're just going to spend a little time tonight in a kind of activity. It's New Year's, time to shake it up a little. Some of you still haven't made up your sleep deficit from New Year's Eve, right? What time did y'all go to bed New Year's Eve? I was going to say 8:30, Gary. What time were y'all up till? 2 or 2:30. That's probably a lot of people were up till 2 or 2:30. Yeah. What time did you go to bed, Nan?
Before midnight.
Before midnight. All right. Did everybody get a piece of paper? I just want to read through this. What we're going to do, just for the rest of our time we have tonight, next 35 or 40 minutes, we're going to, I'm going to give you some time to go through these. I'm going to read them for you. I'm going to spend you some, give you some time to reflect on them. You may want to take some notes. We're going to just do this with an attitude of prayer. And then we're going to, I'm going to give you an opportunity here. We're going to spend a little time praying about it, but then I'm going to give you an opportunity to get with a partner and talk through some of these things. There's something sometimes about just sharing with another person that can bring something out in your life that maybe you haven't seen before. But let's just go through these. Let's start with number one. And these are just some things the Lord laid on my heart for us to talk about tonight. They're not obviously an exhaustive list. But first of all, what steps are you sure that God has ordered in your life? Now, I believe that God has, according to His Word, He's ordering my steps. Well, if He's ordering our steps, we need to know what those steps are. What steps are you sure, and as you look in your life, that you know for sure God has ordered? I can't say everything in my life God has ordered. But I can tell you certain things that I know for sure God ordered those things in my life. Am I the only one here like that? There are some things I know that God put this in my life. He set this in my life. He's ordered this. He's led me about certain things. Not everything, but there are some things I'm very sure of. So what steps are you sure that God has ordered in your life? Well, have you taken those steps? Is there something that you know God's been leading you to do? It's been on your heart. Well, have you taken that? And are you faithfully following what He said to you to do? It's so interesting when you start a new year like we're starting now. It's kind of like a clean slate. But you never actually have a clean slate in this sense. What God said to you last year, He still means for you to do it this year. You understand? You have a clean slate in the sense that tomorrow's, you know, today's a new day, tomorrow's a new day. But what God said to you last year, He meant, and He still means it now. And if He spoke to you to do something last year, He's still expecting you to do it. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I want to start a new thing, and I'm like, okay, forget everything else, and okay, what do you got to say to me today? Well, it might be, it probably is, what He's going to say to me today is related to what He said to me yesterday and last month. Do you see what I'm saying? So let's think about that for a minute. Are you faithfully following what He said to you to do? And if you aren't, well, what do you need to do to get back on track with Him? What is it you need to do to get on track with God's steps for your life, what He's ordering you to do? What has He talked to you about doing that you haven't done? So that's kind of the real theme of all of this is just maybe to bring some of those to light. And we'll go on to the second one. What is it that you find yourself resolving to change every New Year's? You know, every New Year's Day, or at least this time of year, you at least have some notion of it's a new year, whether you make resolutions or not, whether you make goals, whatever you want to call them, you have something that crosses your mind that really this would be a good year to resolve this, to fix this, to, you know, whatever it would be. So what issues, and that's a way to look at it, what issues do you continually face? I don't know, do any of y'all have any people in your life? I've had people in my life like this. I see them and they tell me their troubles. And, oh, it's terrible. And then I see them 6 months later. It's the same troubles. Exactly. You have these friends, too. And then I see them, like, 2 years later. Same thing. And sometimes it's just a different man, but the same troubles. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's a different job, but the same troubles. You know what I mean? It's a whatever. It might change just a little, but it's still the same, you know. It may be a little bit different problem, but it's the same kid with the problem. You know, whatever it is, it's just ongoing. Well, what kind of issues? Because we all, let's be honest here, we all have them. What are those issues in our lives? Because I think those are the things that God would like to help us to change. If you could change it on your own, it'd be fixed. But God wants to help you change it. And do you have the same resolutions that you fail to keep each year? What can you do to address and resolve this issue in your life? What is it you can actually do to make some, to really have change? There's several schools of thought. Some people think nobody ever changes. There is no real change. But I'm a believer in change. I'm a believer in transformation. And I'm a believer in transformation. You know why? Because I see it in the Bible. And because I've experienced it in my own life, I have seen change. I'm looking at change right here. I'm looking at people who have been transformed. How many of y'all believe in transformation? But I tell you what, it's not an accident, and transformation doesn't just happen just because somebody, you know, because the wind blew a certain way. No, it happens because people make decisions and God helps them. That's where change comes from. People, they come to a realization, they make a decision, and God helps them. And it really just goes back to that principle in Matthew 18 where Jesus said, whatever you allow on earth, heaven allows. You know, whatever you permit on earth, heaven permits. But whatever you forbid, heaven forbids. In other words, when you stand up and say, I'm going to do something about this, and you have some resolve there, heaven will back you up. Heaven will help you. God will give you grace to accomplish it. So that's part of it. Now let's go to the third thing here we're going to think about here and pray about. And it's this, because this is something that goes addresses the very heart of God. Do you have strained relationships in your life? Have you ever attempted, or are you attempting to restore those? And it goes back to some of the things we talked about in December. Have you forgiven others their debts against you? And is there anything that the Lord would have you to do about the relationships in your life? Sometimes when we're looking into a new year, a new time, we don't think about relationships and how we are, you know, but yet that's really the thing that can cause us the most pain in life and bring us the most joy are our relationships. And so we might not think in terms of relationships. What would the Lord order my step? How would He order my steps concerning relationships? Which brings us to number four. And I have a obvious typo here because it should be E-R-E, not E-I-R. Are there, E-R-E, people in your life that are influencing you in a negative way or leading you towards destruction? You know, years ago in School for Life, we used to start not with Abundant Life, but we used to start with a class called New Life. Some of y'all remember that? And we had a class called New Life, and we all went through it, but particularly people who just came to the Lord, they went to this class about New Life. And one of the classes in New Life was about change. And it was about changing your words. And I can't remember. It was three things. Change your words. Change your thinking. That was the one that I didn't know. Change your words, change your thinking, and change your friends, your environment, the people around you. Is that what it was? Good job. I think Eddie wrote the class. I'm not sure. Maybe it was Georgette. But anyway, but it had to do with changing the people around you, because in reality, your words and your thinking are so affected by the people around you. It's the truth. And there are people sitting here in this room. Your life isn't going to change in the way that God wants it to change. You're not going to experience the transformation that you really desire and that God has for you until you change the people that are around you. Because I'm telling you, the people that you're around, they have so much to do with what happens in your life, what you think about, what you think of yourself, all these things. They can really, you know, like Matt talked about on Sunday, talking to people that are wise, they can help you. But people that are negative, that are destructive, those people will pull you down. Am I the only one that's ever seen that? Okay. So are there people in your life that are influencing you in a negative way or leading you towards destruction? Are you allowing others to poison you? Because that happens, man. People can poison you or keep you from pursuing God's best for you. Whether they're poisoning you about the things of God, poisoning you about yourself. You have anybody that's always down on you and you listen to them? Yeah? No? Well, this is something you need to think about. How is God leading you to change this in 2013? And it might be as simple as, you know, I need to cut back on the time or the access I allow with so-and-so in my life. Or maybe I just need to find new friends or a new environment or whatever it might be. Just think about that. And then that also leads to number five here that says, who has God placed in your life and led you to cultivate a relationship with? Because it's not that God wants you to be alone. God wants you to be with people, but he wants you to have godly, healthy, strong, nourishing, nurturing relationships. So who has God put in your life and led you to cultivate a relationship with? And are there people that you want to spend more time with? What I found is there's people I want to spend more time with, but my time gets sucked up with these people over here. And so it's simply about making some choices and decisions about who am I going to invest my time in, and start seeing your time as an investment and seeing, you know, the time that you have and what you do with the time you have is like spending your money. If you wouldn't spend your money, you know, who wants to just throw their money out the window? Why would you throw your time out the window? Well, if you wouldn't spend your money on something that's destructive, why would you spend your time with people who are destructive to you? But then you could put, this is talking about putting your time into something that's going to be valuable for you. And I know some of you have found relationships this year, you know, just even in the last year that have helped you, that they have, whatever kind of relationship, maybe a mentor, maybe a coach. I know some of you have been to, found a counselor or somebody that's really enriched your life. But just, we're just talking about friends. We spent a lot of time at the end of last year talking about relationships. So let's keep that in our thinking as we move forward. Are there people that you want to spend more time with? Is there someone you can help? Somebody you can mentor? Is there someone you can learn from? And are there brothers and sisters in Christ who God's leading you to establish relationships with? And what can you do to make it happen? Because that's one thing I heard a whole lot about when we were going through that series of doing life together. I heard people talk about how they really wanted some friendships. They wanted godly relationships. They wanted those Paul and Barnabas relationships. But it's not going to just happen because you want it. You're going to have to take some steps. What can you do? What can you do? What are you willing to do? What are you going to do? What is God ordering for you to do? So that's a matter of prayer as much as anything in my thinking here. Now, let's get to number six, because number six is interesting. Are you ashamed of any area or issue in your life? The enemy uses shame to just keep people bound. He so works with shame. And it keeps people in bondage and in captivity. What is it in your life that's producing shame? You know, what area is it? Maybe your finances are in a mess and you're just, every time you think about it, you feel shame. Well, maybe this is the year where you actually do Financial Peace University. Maybe this is the year where you take some steps in that area, whatever it is. And there could be 1,000 areas of shame. But what do you need to do to break from this bondage of shame? Or do you need to repent? Is it something you need to repent and receive God's grace and forgiveness about? Or do you need to confess your faults to one another and pray? Have somebody pray with you and hold you accountable. Sometimes that's the very best thing you can do, is find somebody who will hold you accountable. Who can help you deal with this issue? Where can you get help? Because God's plan has never been that you just conquer it all on your own. He gave us each other. So who is it that you can go to get help? And then finally, this is the last one we'll talk about, then we'll spend some time doing this. What dreams have you had in life that you've taken few steps towards fulfilling? Maybe it's just a dream, a pure dream in the sense that you've taken no steps towards. Or maybe it's one that you've taken some steps toward, but you've sort of let it fall or whatever. Whatever state you may be in towards fulfilling that dream. What is the dream? Because God's got a dream for you. He's put a dream in your heart. And what would God have you to do this year towards pursuing those dreams? See, and that's a question, because sometimes we think of a dream and it's so far out there. It's just, you know, a cloud and, you know, just one of those wispy little clouds in the sky, and that's my dream. But there's something you can do this year. Maybe it's not, you can't fulfill it completely, but what can you do now? What is the next step? That's what I'm always asking myself. What is the next step? Because I don't know the end from the beginning. I barely know today. You know, I hope I have some idea of tomorrow. But, you know, the end from the beginning, who knows the end from the beginning? I know I win. I go to heaven when I die. But there's just a lot of uncertainty between here and there. All I need to know is the next step. I was talking to Tori today, and he was talking about, you know, we're talking about his future. How old are you, Tori? Tori's 21. And, you know, at 21, you're looking ahead, and life is but a dream, man. It's a lot of dream. How many of you that are older than 21 remember what it was like to be 21 and to think about life? You had dreams, didn't you? How many of you, your life has followed that dream exactly? None of us. But it's not necessary to know the end from the beginning. All you need to know is the next step. What do I do next? That's honestly the truth. The steps. I'm so glad God put it that way, in bite-sized pieces. I don't have to make it to the top. I just gotta get to the next step. What is the next step He has for me? And if I'll follow Him step by step, I'll end up where I'm supposed to be in the end. Because where I'm supposed to be in the end is so big and so different and so beyond my ability to conceive of it. He can't even show it to me now. And if He did, it'd probably freak me out. You know? Vanessa, if you knew you were going to have 5 kids at one point, you'd have been freaked out by that. You may be freaked out tonight. But, you know, you just look ahead at life and you think of all the things that are out there in life. Some things, you couldn't have taken them. There'd have been so much pain. But you live through it and you're resilient and look what God's done. And other things, you know, you just had no way of figuring out that you wouldn't, there's nothing you could conceive of. All you need to know is the next step and be willing to take the next step. So that's the question I have tonight is I know there's dreams, but if you never start taking the steps, okay, I'm not where I was, I'm not where I'm going, but I've taken a step. Now, is there another step I can take? Is there something else I can do? God, show me. Oh, okay, I see, I can do that. And sometimes the steps kind of seem like they're, you know, they take a long time to get through them, or maybe they don't seem like they're going in the right direction, but just follow God. So what kind of steps can you take this year? So I'm just trying to break it down a little bit tonight instead of saying, okay, sky's the limit, because we all know that probably the sky's not the limit. But here's some real deal things you can deal with tonight. So listen, you got some music back there? Is Brian back there? You got some music you can play for us? Why don't we play music and take about, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes or so? And just think about some of these. If you want to make some notes, you might want to pray. Spend a little time praying. Just, I have pens up here. If anybody needs pens, just walk up here and get one. I got a whole box. They're pink. They're very pretty. Okay.